3, verse 1. We're almost through with 2 Timothy. We've been going through 1 and 2 Timothy for the last couple of months. And we've seen some good instruction in here for Timothy in particular, but really for all of us, even if we're not all going into a ministry type position as Timothy was, there's still good instruction for us in here. And that's true of the passage we're looking at tonight too. In the context, it appears to be speaking of some specific people in a specific situation that was going on there. But as Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. And so the things that we see in these few verses tonight still happen today. So we'll look at this passage and kind of talk about what it means and then maybe talk about some ways that we can apply it to ourselves. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father God, we come to you. We thank you for a good night. I thank you for the freedom and the privilege to come here tonight and to be able to look at your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us, that you would lead me, dear Lord, that I'd be able to present your word in a way that helps us to grow and understand it better. Dear Lord, we want to understand your word better and what's going on when it was written and how we can apply it to us. So I pray that your spirit would move in that way and just hide me behind the cross, that I'd be able to preach and teach in a way that brings glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days. Now let's pause there for a second, because it's not exactly clear when we see in the Old Testament the phrase last days. We may have an idea of what we think it means, and it may be the right idea, but it may not be. Now, typically when we hear the phrase the last days, we almost always tend to think the end of time, the time before Jesus is going to return. And it's possible that that's what last days means here, and in other instances too. However, when we look at that phrase, the few times it's used in the New Testament, what we see clearly in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, is that at the day of Pentecost, that it's said there that these are the last days that Joel talked about. That is, the days that Jesus brought about. That is, Jesus brought about these things that were going to occur. We see that in the book of Hebrews. You may remember way back in Hebrews chapter 1, at the very beginning, I think verse 2, that it says, in these last days, Jesus has spoken to us. And so there's a couple of ways, really three main ways, that we can look at this phrase, last days. One is the one that might come to our mind first, that this is talking about something that's going to happen in the future at a time before Jesus returns, that this may be some kind of sign. And it's possible that that's what that means. It's also possible that the term last days is talking about the whole period from Jesus onward, from Jesus until Jesus returns, from that whole period. We see it applied in that way, it appears, in the New Testament. So it could be talking about that. Sometimes when we see this phrase, last days, it could be speaking of the last days of the old system. Now, when this book was written, and all the New Testament books were written, the old Jewish system that Jesus had said was going to pass away was about to pass away in 70 AD is when the temple was destroyed and the old system was going to pass away. And so some believe that when we see that phrase last days, that it's applying to the audience in Scripture, and it was the last days of the old system, but a new system, a new covenant had been established through Jesus. So don't want to take too much time on that, but when we see that phrase, we need to realize that it's not necessarily used as speaking of something that will occur at the end time. It may be, but there are other applications when we compare it to other occasions where it's used, where it's pretty clear that in those instances, it's not talking about an end times thing. It's talking about another time. And so maybe this whole period from Jesus onward is the last days. Nonetheless, it doesn't matter which interpretation we hold to there. What we need to pay attention to is what's going on. And the things that are going on have been going on in this world forever. They've been going on as long as people have been here. They've been doing these things, and they will continue to do these things until this world is no more. Verse 2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without control, self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So we have a long list of things here that is not good. People are lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. As one Bible teacher I heard said, these are very loving people, but they love the wrong thing. And so Paul says here to Timothy, look, you're going to be exposed to these type of people who are not good people, who are evil people. And this is a pretty exhaustive list of sinful things. And he points these things out to Timothy. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, he says, holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power, avoid these people. And so even this group of people that are pretty rough based on the list of things that they're involved in here, even so, Paul acknowledges that there is some godliness in their life. That is, they know God to some extent, and even though they've been exposed to God and the Word of God, they are denying the power of God. Now, do we ever fall into that trap? Maybe we're guilty of the same thing. Maybe we know about God, but we don't really experience the power of God because we're too busy living in sin. We're not really trusting in God and growing in our faith. We're not letting God work in our life. We're not experiencing joy that comes from God because we're not content with God. We are discontent with the world, and that begins to kind of take over in our life. And when we're not focused on God, those who are God's people, then we do miss the power of God. We miss the strength of God. And so he says of these people, well, they have some form of godliness. They know a little bit about God, but they're not experiencing the full power of God. Why is that? Because they're evil people. They're not living for God. And that's a trap we have to make sure that we don't fall into, because we may be guilty of the same thing. It's possible for us to fall into that same trap, to go through the motions and to know about God and to be kind of godly people, at least in some way, but not really experiencing the freedom and the joy and the peace that comes from a relationship with God. And so he tells him, avoid these people. So you're going to encounter these people who are going to be evil, and they're going to have some appearance of godliness, but they're not good people. And so he says, avoid these people. Now, it's important for us to pay attention to the people that we hang out with. Who do we hang out with? Are they pretty good people? Are they pretty rough people? Now, we may say, well, I'll hang out with rough people, and I'm going to help to make them better. Well, maybe you are, but then again, maybe they're going to help to make you worse. So we have to pay attention to the people that we surround ourselves with. That's very important. Now, we want to be a positive influence to people who aren't living right, and we want people to be positive influences on us when we're not living right. So it's very important that we surround ourselves with good people, and we avoid people who are living in a way that's not good. And that's what we see in this list here, that Paul says, look, stay away from the people who are practicing these things. These are not good people to hang around with. Verse 6, for among them are those who worm their way into household and capture idle women, burdened with sins, led along by a variety of passions. Okay, so now we see a little bit more about what this group of people are doing. Now, it appears to be that these are people who are there during Timothy's time, that Paul is describing something that maybe is already going on, and because he calls out something specific that they're doing. They're finding women that are easy targets for whatever reason. They're women who are idle, it says. They're burdened down with sin. So the women that they're targeting are women who are easy targets to accomplish whatever it is that they want to accomplish. So these people that Paul is telling Timothy to avoid are not good people. They're not good people at all. And instead of taking care of the women and treating the women with respect, as we've already seen Paul write, they're doing just the opposite. They're finding some opportunity to take advantage of people. And you still see that in our world today. You see many people today who are looking for somebody that to take advantage of. Sometimes you even see that in the ministry. You see preachers or you see people in ministry positions who are looking for easy targets because they're greedy and they try to find people that are easy to get money from or easy to get other things that they may want from them. And so these people that Paul is talking about, these are pretty rotten people. They're not good people at all. And it says in verse 7, always learning and never able come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, I'm not sure if he's talking about the women here in this passage or if he's applying this back to the ones who are taking advantage to these women. Either way, the point is the same, and that is that they are learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, we want to be those who are able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We don't want to just be spinning our wheels when we try to read God's Word and seek God's Word and grow in God's Word. We want to be those who are really coming and grasping the knowledge of the truth. Of course, they're not able to grasp knowledge of the truth, obviously, because their lives are sinful. They're described as sinful women here, or these people, whoever they may be, these men, it appears, are sinful men living in these sinful ways. And so even though they are ever learning and they're exposed to the teachings of the truth and knowledge, they don't ever grasp it. And what a shame it is that we can sit and hear God's Word and listen to God's Word and read God's Word and never really grasp what it says. And we have to be on guard because maybe there's been seasons in our life that we've done that. Maybe there's seasons in our life that we went to church a lot, but we didn't get anything out of it. Or we read the Bible a lot, but we didn't get anything out of it because there was sin in our life or there were other things on our mind. And so we were continually learning, but we weren't really learning. We weren't getting any knowledge from it. And so that's a bad place to be in. And that's where this group he's talking about, this is where they were. Verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resisted the truth. Men who are corrupt in mind, worthless in regard to the faith. Now, this name's Jannes and Jambres here. This is the only place that these names occur in the Scripture. And so it's not perfectly clear exactly who these two are. However, it appears as though these would be the magicians who performed some of these miracles that Moses performed. If you remember, when Moses went to Pharaoh, there were some miraculous things that God told Moses he was going to be able to do. And Pharaoh's magicians were able to copy some of those miracles and say, oh, well, what he's doing, what his God's not that spectacular. Look, we can do these things too. But ultimately, they ran out of magic or whatever they were doing, whatever sleight of hand they were doing to perform those things that Moses was doing. Eventually, their abilities, whether they were man-made or demonic, whatever they were, eventually their abilities ran out. And so he says, look, there's some evil people here that are among you, but have no fear because they are just like those who came against Moses. And even though it looks as though they have some power, even though it looks as though maybe they're on the same level and are gonna be trouble for you, remember the story of Jannes and Jambres who came against Moses, and it says, they resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Okay, so the ones that Moses went to Pharaoh and to the magicians there, they resisted the truth that Moses said, hey, God is going to deliver these people, and they resisted the truth that Moses tried to tell them. Ultimately, as Moses continued to do the miracles and the plagues were poured out on the people, and the magicians were not able to, eventually they could no longer resist the truth. They had to give in and say, let the people get out of here. He says that these men are corrupt in mind, worthless in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their lack of understanding will be clear to all as theirs, that is Jannes and Jambres, was also. So obviously, Timothy is facing some opposition and going to be facing some opposition in the future possibly. And Paul is saying, look, don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. Because even though these people are coming at you, these evil people, they will not be able to stand up as time goes on. Eventually, they will fail. Eventually, they'll crumble. But those who trust in God will remain steadfast and remain firm. And so he's giving him some good instruction here, and just a word of warning, hey, pay attention to these that you may encounter. And so that's kind of the context of what he was writing, but I think it's important maybe for us to look back at verse 2 and to look at this list of these things. This is a good opportunity for us to take a test. Now, it's easy for us to look and think about these people that are being talked about and say, oh yeah, these are pretty evil people. They did some pretty evil things. And indeed, they were doing some evil things. But we need to look at this list and see how we're doing in these areas. Maybe some of these areas we're not doing too good either. What are some of the things he says? For people will be lovers of self. Okay, well, we need to test ourselves here. Are we lovers of self? Do we think too much of ourselves? Are we pretty proud? Do we think we're the best looking, the smartest, and all these things? Sometimes we have a real high value of ourselves, especially in this culture. It's even encouraged, it seems like, in this culture to really have a high value of yourself and put yourself first. But the scripture says just the opposite, that those who are first shall be last and last should be first. And so we want to make sure that we don't fall into that trap, that we don't become lovers of ourselves. What else does it say? Lovers of money. Are we greedy? Are we those who are seeking money and love money and want more of it? Well, there's a difference between working to earn money and to have things and to be able to do things and make a living and save a little back for rainy days. There's nothing wrong with that, but somewhere along the line, we can kind of cross that line, and we can really begin to love money too much and begin to seek money and do anything we want to get money. We see that in the world today all the time as people become greedy. There's a show that we watch sometimes called American Greed. And you see people on there, and they do some of the worst stuff you could possibly imagine. It starts out as some little something, and then pretty soon they need more money. And for long, they willing to kill or cheat or steal or whatever to anybody. It don't matter if it's their own parents. They'll do whatever they got to do. So we don't want to get to that point. That's why it's important for us to look at lists like this and remind ourselves that greed is a bad thing. And we don't want to be those who are lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Well, those two things kind of go together. Do we boast in ourselves? Are we boasting? Oh, look how good I am. Look what I've got. Look what I did. Look at me. We need to be careful that we don't become boastful, that we don't become proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Well, that's a good one to remember. That's a command we see all the way back in the Old Testament, to honor your father and your mother. These are pretty simple things for the most part to understand. And maybe we're doing all these things, but then again, maybe we're not doing these things. And so if we're not, we need to pay attention to this, because the things on this list are bad things. If we're doing these things, then we need to ask God to help us to overcome these things. Ungrateful. That's a good one for us to think about. Are we ungrateful? Are we happy with what we have? Are we content with what we have? Are we grateful for what we have? And sometimes we see in our world, and I've been guilty of this before, we have something and it may be really nice, but it's not what we want. We're not grateful for what we have. We want more. And the Bible says here that that's not a good thing, to be ungrateful. We should be grateful. Unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control. We won't go through all these for time's sake, but what about that one? Without self-control. To have self-control is a good thing, but to not have self-control is a bad thing. And so we need to work on that in our life, maybe. We need to work on being able to have more control, to say no when we need to say no, or to hold out on something when we need to hold out on something. We need to be able to have that control, that we don't give in, but that we're the ones who are in control of our life and the decisions we make and the situations that we are involved in. Brutal, without love for what is good. Well, holy smokes, that's a bad one. Without love for what is good. Hopefully we don't fall into that trap. Hopefully we love some good, but these that's being talked about here, they don't have any love for any good, it doesn't appear. And so when you get to that place, you're in a bad place. Traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So this is a long list of some pretty bad things. And maybe we need to look at this list and others like it in Scripture and say, okay, God, am I falling into any of these categories? Am I doing any of these things? Because these are not the kind of things that God wants us to do. And maybe we're doing pretty good in some of these areas, but maybe there are some that we need to work on. So we want to be those who live a godly life, who live a righteous life, who live more like Timothy than these guys, so that we will be able to grow in the Lord, to be able to grow in our knowledge and understanding, that we are not those who continue to learn but don't have knowledge and truth, but we are those who look at God's Word, we learn from it, we see the areas where we fail, and we grow in the truth of God's Word so that it can transform our lives into the men and women that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you. We thank you for your good word, and I pray that you would help us to examine our own lives, to see areas where maybe we are not where we need to be. This is a pretty intense list of things that are just not good, dear Lord. And I pray that you would help us to see if there are areas that we are guilty of these things. Areas like this, dear Lord, that maybe we're living in these sins. Help us to see that. Help us to repent of those things. Help us to be able to overcome those things by your power, dear Lord. I pray that you would help us to continue to come and read your word and hear your word, both here and in our own time, dear Lord, that we would learn and come to knowledge, that we wouldn't be those who are just spinning our wheels, dear Lord, but that we would be those who are really seeking you and really growing in you in every way. God, I pray that you would help us not to be discouraged, just as those who came against Moses and were overcome, dear Lord, by your power, so it will be for us, God. Maybe there are times that there are some that come against us and situations that are discouraging and people that are discouraging, dear Lord. But in the end, God, you always win out. So let us never be discouraged by whatever we're up against. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.